And the dark has descended on my spirit. Wait, that's not the right.
Wow, that's
not the
so
right
weird.
Kind of after dark, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we don't turn off the lights yet.
Yeah.
We just turn them down.
Yes, that's right. We're just two guys hanging out here in our robes, yeah, drinking some white wine, talking about life. Nothing weird.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Okay, so this segment is for more of the adult-themed stuff. However, you know, sometimes it also becomes just about you know, other themes that are just not as PG-13 as the rest,
yeah,
of the show. So it doesn't have to be erotic in nature, but we definitely encourage that. Let's get it out of our system, guys. All right, we're going to do one segment, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this. Warmer than a fresh batch of my mom's pies. It's World Poetry Open Mic after dark. That's hot.
And we're back. Still surrounded by a batch of
my mom's pies.
By the way, so that's a reference to back when we started at this radio station. They had a commercial for a company called My Mom's Pies.
Yep.
But it was, how would you describe the commercial that they had made? It was like
double entendre'd all the way,
yeah,
through.
Yeah, but I don't think it was on purpose.
I don't think it was either.
I think it totally.
It was perfect.
It was just, it.
They had the bed of music of Bare Necessities.
That's right.
Just that beginning little piece.
And the thing is with Bare Necessities, though, they were talking about just using real ingredients, you know, no,
yeah,
additives and things like that. But it just came across totally differently.
It totally does.
An innuendo, an incredible sarcasm. And knowing the people there, I don't think they were capable of that. Do you ever get that impression? Like, I don't really
You know, I
think,
can kind of understand that. Yeah.
I think this came off way smarter than all of the people who
planned.
Did this. Yeah, all right, well, you know, whatever.
You know.
Okay. Hey, we've got some great callers lined up here for this segment, though. I think there's nobody better to kick off the After Dark segment than Philip from Kentucky. Let's head over there.
That
hello,
hey, scare him. Scare him.
Philip.
Yes. Well, hi.
Hello. It is your friendly poetry jump scare coming on the line.
Oh, yeah. But see, I'm on to you now. Maybe this is another resolution for the new year. Put you on speakerphone and keep the phone far hence.
Yeah.
And yet I still drop a brick in my pants.
That might be something to see a specialist about.
I know, right?
It's like your own personal Nantucket you're carrying around over there. All right.
Now you do startle me sometimes. I swear. You do, and I'm like, yeah. And autonomic nervous system engaged.
That was actually something that I had a conversation with my Catholic school children about back before before Christmas. That one of my favorite things about God in the Bible is that he's all, mm-hmm, about jump scares. And he's incredibly dramatic. I mean, if you think any way that this deity could appear to Moses, why on earth would you be a burning bush that talks? You know,
right.
Or like the angel shows up, bah! You know, I mean, it's just, it's incredible. An angel appears to shepherds hanging out in the, what are they going to do? They're going to freak out and scream and run around like South Park characters.
And the irony that I, too, was actually thinking exactly the burning bush. I mean, no wonder the poor guy stuttered, right? I mean,
of course.
You know.
What are you going to think if you see that? You're like, wow, that peyote was really strong.
I'm still tripping 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Okay. Legit. That's a wonderful introduction to the After Dark segment with a bit of Bible there thrown in. All right.
There's a
marvelous.
Whole lot of, hey, Song of Solomon all the way. All right. Here we go.
Oh, you know, yeah, right? I mean, when people talk about reading the Bible to their youngins, that scares me, actually. I mean, the Bible is adult literature through and through,
all
man.
The way, man.
All the way through. I know. It's right? I mean, this is real literature, you know. You think Shakespeare was dark. Wait until you get a load of some of this, you know, right?
Very true. Very true.
Oh, okay. Oh, you guys are making me smile. And also a quick note, Michael, I hope I don't send you too many things.
Oh, not at all.
Via Facebook. Okay, good, good. You know, I'm always throwing you stuff, man, and it's just my way of saying thanks and how much I dig your friendship. And,
I'm really happy to receive things, man. I really am.
Okay, good, good. All right. Here we go. And I want to preface this very quickly. Diane, who occasionally invites me into the garden, their garden poetry group, this is one of their poems that I completed my assignments. Dog didn't eat this homework assignment. And the two words, as they have as part of their the way they go about challenging poets, they give you two words, and I think this one, I may be wrong, but it was spectral and masquerade, I believe, were the two words we were supposed to use for this little project. So here we go. The title I gave this, Casting Stones While Imprisoned in Nietzsche's Holographic Eternal Return. And here we go. Outside the anywhere windows, nothing new continues. City streets aligned with prefabricated fun. Fast food restaurants multiply the neon signs advertising like modern Christianity. Billions served today. En masse, the uninspired, distracting themselves with sideshows and sexually transmitted diseases. You masquerade emotions, short-lived as a social occasion. Being among them illustrates normalcy. Standard deviations for every populace and a rare few who've experienced the divide between thresholds. Definitions that read hollow, meaninglessness, and enraptured noise compounded by ceaseless commercials and ad campaigns pre-prepared for candidates not yet born. Specters who sing Ave Maria and send wordless prayers into solemn distances unheard for countless starry parsecs. Algorithms measuring outcomes, the unknown architects who made the machine by which we act out expected permutations. Most of us ignoring the fact that everything is past tense. To be is to make believe one is alive, when really it's only neuronal circuitry assuaged by amalgams called friends and families, a loved one who helped you pass the time. And there it is, sir.
A great addition to After Dark. It's a great lead-off piece. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
And you guys have a marvelous weekend. And are you still on break, Michael? Or are you already?
I am until Monday, and Monday morning. Monday morning at 8:20 a.m. I start.
Back to the grind.
That's when class starts. I'm actually back way at the. I'm back there at 7:30 a.m. Denver time, but at 8:20 on Monday morning, you know where I'll be. I'll have a new crop of eighth grade kids, and we're going to get ready to knock down some Hamlet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That should be a blast.
Oh, it'll be great, man. It'll be great.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. You guys are wonderful. Thank you all the poets, et cetera, at all. Love you guys, and be well. Cheers. Stay warm.
Hey, you as well, huh? We'll see you later.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye. And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky leading off the After Dark segment. I think he's a good person. He's got the perfect level of literary capability mixed with mischievousness, and I think that's a great way to lead off the After Dark segment.
Yes.
All right, now.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mary, if you can hear us, I've already got your spot. It's 5.
Okay. So.
So just
we're not at Mary's.
Okay. No. But I'm just letting her know.
No,
so
that's
that
good.
While she's calling,
that's good to know. So, okay. Sorry. Cool. All right. Let's go instead to the person who we have sitting at number 2, which is Barbara in Connecticut.
All right, let's go instead to person who I have sitting at number 2, which is Barbara in Connecticut.
Hey, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the After Dark segment.
Yes, I'm looking at all of my After Dark poems and deciding which one to read. I have actually submitted three to this Indian anthology that's going to be published. And first time I've ever actually submitted these to an anthology, so kind of interesting to see them in print. But I think I'll read the one that kind of got me started on all this. And this one won gold in poetry, poetry.com, poets, whatever that is. The one that Tony is a member of. And so it's called Kinky Ink Drips on My Screen. I think of a certain bare-chested male, and my thoughts soar in a mad frenzy, igniting the pleasure centers of my brain and creating images that sear into my head. And suddenly the message travels faster than my fingers can and intensifies, creating a ball of desire as my frantic fingers begin to explore the yearning. And a series of wild images forms as dream bubbles inside of me. The feelings pour from me in a great font of excitement as the frenzy moves closer and closer to the final crescendo. The movement traversing the terrain of my curves and slipping down in a mad and delirious journey to descend within the velvet of my orb as I imagine the ecstasy of the feel of skin upon skin. Wild abandon overtakes my body and I sway with the rhythm of desire as I climb the mountain to a place found only in my past. End poem.
Racy, as they say. Racy, Barbara.
Yes, they're all racy.
Not racist, racy. There's a big difference.
Racy.
Yes.
It's what, you know, it would appear on the surface that, you know, this quiet, unprepossessing person would not have those thoughts, but, you know, whatever.
I think it's part of the human condition, personally.
A lot of people can't write about it, though, and I'm just amazed that I can.
I think it's a good thing, and I think it's healthy, actually. I think it's very healthy to be able to do so.
Well, I guess it's just being able to remember and put down the wonderful feelings that I had, you know, just really great. And I'm going to get off the phone now because I'm getting embarrassed. So.
Okay, absolutely. I can understand. All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Anyway, thank you for promoting us and for all that you do.
Absolutely.
And I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara from Connecticut. Coming in number two in the After Dark segment. Let's just quickly, since she's already calling back in, let's go to number three, Diane from Florida. Diane, are you there?
Yes.
All right, perfect timing.
I know.
You're like, now, I know, I planned it that way, damn it.
I am looking for some advice.
Okay, what's that?
How are we going to get Dennis to put on the mermaid suit? I'm sorry.
I don't know. You know, I got to be honest. I think Dennis has far too much dignity for this.
He hasn't met me yet.
Fair enough. I will tell you, though, my cousin is a mermaid. My cousin is a mermaid at the Denver Aquarium, and she's a RN for her day job. She just gave birth to a beautiful baby daughter. But she's getting back in shape. She loved being a mermaid at the Denver Aquarium. She will be going back and doing that as her part-time job.
That is so fun.
Yeah, she has a great time with it. She has a great time. I did have a great moment at her because when I worked at the aquarium, I was there. And I knew all the people who were mermaids, but I'd only seen them in their mermaid costumes. So I'm walking by. I'm at her wedding. And I walk by this table, and I get stopped. And it's these girls who I don't really recognize, and their boyfriends are there. And the girls go, "You're just walking by us. You're not saying anything." And I go, oh, hi. I'm sorry. And then I realize I shouldn't say this, but of course I had to. I didn't recognize any of you with your clothes on. And the boyfriends were not happy with me for the rest of the night, as you can imagine.
You could have. Yeah.
At least you didn't say anything about tail.
I didn't say any. I didn't make any tail comments. I was being classy.
There you go. I can tell.
See, and I would have made a comment about their tails. Yeah. I didn't notice you without your tails.
He made it to the parking lot after dark.
Yeah.
With his angry boyfriend.
Bam.
But,
yeah.
Okay. This is actually a poem. It's still kind of a work in progress, but it's for the week ahead. And I just want to say the two words that were offered were rhapsodic and spiel.
Okay.
Now, how I applied those to a sexy poem, I don't know. We'll find out. Okay. Oh, and another thing. We have one of our sort of members that doesn't participate a lot. His name is Ashok Kumar Meter from India. And he wrote a beautiful poem today, and it inspired this. And I need to say that the title of it is taken from something that he wrote. It's called Fugitive Moon. A fugitive moon keeps stealing my memories, and where it's hiding them, I want to know. I keep peering into the distance trying to see, but sunlight keeps keeps blinding me to the night, to the sensuous expressions you used to rhapsodize me with. The spiel you spewed so elegantly held me enthralled as I blindly reached through darkness, feeling the heat of you wanting me. In dreams, I see my fugitive moon awaken to a humidity that is not caused by normal heat. I feel your tongue on my throat, the pressure that only desire brings, a pain that can only be bandaged by another body. Fugitive moon, you keep hiding, but I know you're there. As entering a new phase, I'm quartered, halved, and then full, wanting you. Eclipsed elliptic moons are craters that encircle me, and desire and need are wrapped in the mists of the love that we hold. Clouds come and rains begin, day turns to night, and love becomes more. A fugitive moon, once tasted, leaves a blur, a scar that shines deepest in the dark. When oceans breach shores and seeds are planted and what is left on the shore may wash away in the light, but the memories remain and the desire, the love. Fugitive moon, you keep hiding, but I know you're out there. Come find me.
It sounds like an erotic poem to a ninja.
Actually, well.
You know?
That's giving me food for thought. Okay. I have no idea how to answer that, so I'll just say button.
Naturally, why would you say anything but that?
North Korea, button.
Iguanas dropping on the thing with the... All right.
Frozen chicken. Okay. Sorry.
Diane, happy birthday, ironic. By the way.
Okay.
It's been your birthday for what, about 45 minutes now?
Yep.
I know, and I have to work tomorrow, darn it. But no problem.
I want you to kick the door in. Well, do you work in a place or do you telecommute?
I telecommute.
Okay, I was going to say, don't do this. Don't do what I was going to say. I was going to say, walk in there, kick the door, and be like, it's my birthday. You know, don't do that. If you telecommute, it doesn't work.
Well, I was actually going to take the day off, but they asked me to work, so I won't. But it's only half day, so it's okay.
Okay. Well, have a great time.
And I have a party to go to, so it's all okay.
Good. Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Diane, we will be in touch, but have a wonderful birthday, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
God bless you guys for everything you do.
Bless you, too. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was the birthday girl, Diane Collin from Florida. All right. JT, it's getting kind of dark.
It is.
Getting kind of dark out here. All right. Now, we're going to go to Stan in Alabama. I hope this works.
So do I.
What do you think?
I'm hoping.
Hey, Stan, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. All right. Great. We have you loud and clear.
All right.
Perfect.
I'm going to be naughty.
Great.
First, a tribute to the haiku master. I am going to parodize or do a parody of the haiku I did in the first segment. And I'll even start with the same first five syllables. If you feel no love, your condom is too damn tight, and your dick is blue. And one quick limerick. There once was a lady who exfoliated after nights that she had fornicated. She said, I like to keep a clean skin, so you never know where I've been. But after this, your ass better get vaccinated. Pleasant evening, all.
You really had JT laughing with the haiku. I think that was great.
That one was for you, haiku master.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate everything.
And as gentlemen, we should always remember, always wear your raincoat. Good night.
Good night, Stan.
All right.
Oh, that was great.
That was Dan calling from Alabama with good advice, by
yes.
the way. Good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget.
That is very true.
All right. Now,
do you want to shoot?
Yeah, let's see if we can do it. Hey, Mary. Hi, Mary. Give us a call. That was a bad Jimmy Stewart. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Mary. Not that bad. Not that good. It's not
okay.
that bad.
It's like...
Yeah.
You sure?
It's a Wonderful Life. Absolutely. It's his wife's name, Mary.
Do you want the moon, Mary?
You want the moon, Mary? I can't even do it. It's ridiculous. All right. Oh, but... All right. Let's see. Mary, you're able to give us a call? If not... All right.
There she is.
There she is. Here we go. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
All right. Yes. Here we are. You're live on the air.
Ringing. See, I'm writing it. I'm writing it, and now I'm turning it off.
Okay.
How are you?
We're doing very, very well. How
After
are you?
After dark, we are. And number five, we are.
That's right. Are you referring to yourself in the royal we?
Yes.
Okay.
She is.
No, I wish I had a little erotica. You know, I sure read it and think about it. And I have my time for it. It does its pleasures for me. But I write little of it so far, and I don't have anything prepared for tonight. So I thought of After Dark in my own literary way, which I can do that because I'm a Leo, and I'm going to do something that's kind of sad. And I know I usually do something kind of sad with a lot of hope. But this is a little more sad, but I guess a little more open. So this is my title. I didn't stop loving him all at once. I didn't stop loving him all at once after I loved him as I did, almost unconditionally. It took a long time to wane. I wanted it to work, you see. I saw enough. And his personality, his gregarious smile, his generosity with me and my children when he had a sparkle in his eye, for me, and my soft-spoken spirit. But early on, it became inappropriate for me to show anger around him. My opinion and feelings mattered less and less, and each fight he'd go further in his mistreatments, and I came to know he could never know me because he did not have the capacity. Yet at this point, I continued to love him. but the resentment and isolation built like pyres around my soul, and I turned to a secondary and tertiary life to raise my girls in secret, embrace my joy with them and my life together with them, largely now without their father around. Oh, how elated I was when he left town again, especially when he left the country, even to his other women, because he would not be harassing and abusing us, doing even worse to me. I had to completely pretend I was someone else by then, because he didn't deserve to know me anymore. I suppose I stopped loving him truly as I waited to be prepped for that emergency C-section in 03. And he was everywhere but at my side while my children were with my great friend, their aunt, who convinced me as I lay dying a few days later that I had to rally and raise these girls. The boy didn't live. I didn't get to visit him. That's okay. I'm over that. I knew I had stopped loving any sort of him by then, and without any knowledge, but with my cooperation. Somehow by the next day, instead of dead, I was sitting up and eating fish and calmly announcing to my friend, I decided I'm leaving him. I know I stopped loving him by then. End poem.
Wow. That was a really moving piece.
I thank you.
Thank you for the honesty.
Thank you for the opportunity to put my words to my oral and hearing, and then to put it in a venue. I stood while I read that. I'm going to walk my little dog with my little broken back that had all these surgeries. But, honey, it moves kind of good to a dance now. And that's at 56. I'm going to go on with that. Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to listen to the end. And next week we go.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Mary. We love you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Good night.
Love you too.
All right. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, the second to last caller of the show, but the last, but not least, to round out the segment, Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Mama, are you there?
Tonight's really weird.
Skype's
buggy.
Being weird. Yeah.
Okay. Call right back, Mama.
All right, yeah, Mama, call right back. That's us. That was software on our end. That wasn't you at all. Sorry about that. We were trying to answer it. It wouldn't do it. How strange.
Yeah.
There she is. Let's try one more time.
There we go.
Hey, Mama.
It's me. It's me.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Nyla says she can't call in because her mom lost her companion dog, and she's her mom's all torn up right now.
Yeah, I understand. So, I'm sorry to hear about that.
But she's listening, so I'm about to get raunchy up in here.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Let me put on my Kama Sutra music. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You just fine.
Okay. I got to get my Kama Sutra music lined up here. And then I got to mute you all right there. Okay. Here we go. Down in the Congo, deep down in my jungle, love making is his talent. The muscles in his tongue were astounding. We share our talent as we shared our love, magnetically tingling, the hairs on my body tingling as he went down. He went down into the Congo of my jungle. He played on my bongo. At first I wanted him to quit. Then he went downstairs and took his tongue and hummed. But I'm so glad he went down. because his tongue did magic tricks. It entertained my clitoris, and it felt glorious when he went down. He went down, he went down, he went down, he went way down in the Congo of my jungle. He sang his songs and played on my bongo. Now I wanted him to stay, and for this I did pray. I was too young to understand that my jungle was his home. No more would he roam since he went down. He gave me his whole life, and eventually I became his wife, and I pleased him abundantly. I gave him all that I could give, and he made love to me 10,000 years. 10,000 years, and our love progressed. And with him, I am possessed. 10,000 years in, and we still be obsessed. We had many children, and each other we blessed. Longevity and sensitivity, taking the time to love me slowly. Kama Sutra, we did all 12 positions. He is still going down. He's still playing his bongo deep down, deep, deep down in the Congo of my jungle. He sang songs and strummed his banjo. He continued to surrender to me joy and laughter. He flooded my jungle. He stroked me and kissed my cheeks until I was met with sleep. He said he would never, ever stray, and we'd cuddle and play. By my side, he would stay, loving me night and day, because ever since he went down with his skilled tongue and worked miracles deep down in my jungle, he went down provocatively, sensually, erotically, wild and sexy, tongue stroked it until I could no longer scream. He takes control and sips my cream de la cream. And for the rest of my day, I shudder and moan when I think about how much he loves me, and knowing that he loves me and me alone. Filling me with ecstasy, the ecstasy of his moves. I had not long transcended back into my earthly flesh, but I was still fresh. He kindled the fire in my dark love chamber. Kama Sutra positions exposed from the nape of my neck to the suckling of my seductive toes. Caressing me with hands and tongue. From the base of my spine, the undercups of my buttocks, my ears and my nose. He was a natural. He could lift 20 pounds with his tongue. And he did that so effortlessly when he went down. He went down. Deep down into the Congo of my jungle. Tender, loving, sensually, beautifully, he went down.
And that's that piece.
A powerfully written and performed piece, Mama.
Thank you.
You got it. For sure. The chat room loved it as well.
Well, it's just little old me, little innocent old me. I don't know nothing about nothing.
Yeah. What one thing I don't know, I don't claim to know a damn thing about women, but one thing I will say that I do know about women is they ain't that innocent.
All right, guys. It's just Mama. See you later.
All right. Mama, thank you so much.
I'll holler next week. Okay.
All right. All right.
Sounds great.
We'll see you then. Thank you, Mama.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out the After Dark set. So, from myself, from JT, from Christine, from Novia, the studio cat, and Ursa, the studio dog, I want to say thank you for everything. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for calling in, reading on the show. Thanks for sticking with us. We're really excited about 2018 and everything it has to offer you and everyone else. So until next time, keep living creatively, keep writing, and we'll see you next week.